If it were possible for you to see what I see, I think you would be thrilled and you would be happy to see the people of God, the children of God, meeting together and assembling together in this capacity to bow down and worship Him this evening on this Friday night. And this is a wonderful place to be, and we appreciate the great love that has been extended and bestowed and showed to us while we've been here. We thank you for that, and we thank you for your good attention. And I'll just confess to you that after our session yesterday evening at Brother Phillips' house that extended into the morning to about 2 o'clock, I think I may have slept for about 45 minutes of that, but I laid my head down on my pillow last night and I began to pray for the people that go together to make up the churches in this area, praying for this meeting that the Lord would see fit to visit us, that the Lord would bless us with His presence. And I'll tell you, there's no greater place to be on the face of the earth than in an Old Baptist meeting when the Lord shows up. Whenever preaching is in spirit and in truth, and the Lord has a big grin on His face, and I don't mean to be trivial, but I do believe the Lord smiles upon His people when they're seeking His face and attempting to follow Him to the best of our ability. I believe that the Lord has promised that He'll be with us in those occasions. Problem's not God. Problem would be me, and I'll just speak in the first person, and that way I won't offend any. But the problem is not with God, it's with me. I am the one that's wayward. I'm the one that has my mind drifting onto the things of this world. I'm the one that allows the perils and little trials of my life to distract me from the things of God. But nevertheless, I'll never stop being amazed at God's mercy and long-suffering for me. You know, the Lord is just is absolutely amazing in this regard. While He's the furthest thing from our thoughts sometimes, the Lord continues to bless us. I'm so thankful that the Lord doesn't treat me like I treated my children. You know, I did the best I could. I wanted my children to grow up and to be good citizens in the community that we live in, and wanted them to continue to press into the kingdom of God and enjoy the precious things that we've enjoyed in the Old Baptist Church. I wanted that. But you know, I'm sure there were many times, we'll confess to you, that I fell extremely short in my behaviors and my attitudes and my conversations and the words that I had spoken. But nevertheless, the Lord still fills their heart with joy from time to time in the Old Baptist Church. You know, that's mercy. My children have turned out to be good citizens, productive people, God-fearing individuals, and that's in spite of me. That would be by the grace of God Almighty. Even though I did the best I could, and if there's any credit to be had, I'll give it to my wife. And she has been an amazing mother to my children. But I'm not here to brag upon my wife, my children. I'm here to magnify our Lord. That is my objective. Because as the Apostle Paul says, that I am what I am by the grace of God. You know, I am who I am because of Steve Jackson and because of Steve Jackson's poor decisions, poor attitudes, and poor behaviors. The Bible says that a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of one's death and the day of one's birth. And I want you to think of our Lord Jesus Christ and His name in light of that text. Oh, mercy, brethren. We've been blessed. We have been abundantly blessed. This evening I want to look at a few verses as we stand before you. And I'll tell you, I sense the prayers of the Lord's people from time to time. My life has been shaped by the prayers of those I love. And there's a song we sing out of the old school hymnal. I need the prayers of those I love. And I'll tell you, brethren, I'm in desperate need of the prayers of those I love. My life has been shaped by the prayers of those around me. I don't know if we understand the power of prayer and how the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But I'll tell you, the lives of God's people have been shaped by the prayers of those they love. You know, I'm convinced, and this is not my subject this evening, even though it may be the Lord's subject. Don't want to be disobedient in that regard. But I'll tell you, I believe in John chapter 17, when the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for the disciples there. He prayed for the apostles. That there was a prayer there that was extended to the church that continues to be answered today for everyone that believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the prayers of the Apostle Paul that he's offered up, praying continually for the churches that he influenced and I'm sure helped establish and constitute. You look at the church at Ephesus and how it was that Paul offered up a couple of prayers there. And I believe the prayers of the Apostle Paul have been answered. And I believe that we're the beneficiaries of those answered prayers. And I believe those prayers will be answered throughout all the ages. As long as time stands, those prayers will be answered. I think often about the prayers of those individuals that went before me in the Fort Smith Primitive Baptist Church and the faithfulness of the brethren who took the risk, if you will, a leap of faith, stepping out on faith to put their resources together to build a facility and to constitute a church there at Fort Smith and to live together in unity to the best of their ability. And the prayers of those that have gone before in that church at Fort Smith and how their prayers are influencing us even unto this day. And how those prayers are being answered is how we're blessed by the prayers of those that we love. I'm thankful for that. So we beg an interest in your continued prayers. Pray for Brother Mike. Pray for the meeting, the rest of the meeting this weekend. Pray for one another that the Lord would see fit to give us what we need. I love the mystery of preaching in that so often, preaching is meant to deal with specific subjects. And some individuals may not get a thing out of it while others are informed and instructed more perfectly. And how it is that individuals from time to time will come and say, I've been thinking about that. In fact, I read that this week and you preached on that. That's not the preacher. That's not you. That's the Holy Spirit intervening. That's the intercession of the Holy Spirit. The preaching is largely influenced by the prayers of the congregation. So often, brethren, we feel condemned as individuals that feel led into the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this gospel ministry. We feel convicted, brethren, whenever we feel to fail as we stand before the Lord's people and we fail miserably from time to time. When we're made to feel alone as we stand up here before the Lord's people, there are times when we are seemingly alone, even though the Lord has never forsaken us. We feel forsaken when we forsake Him. But I'll tell you, there have been times. There's an old deacon at the Fort Smith Church named Harry McLeod. Harry McLeod was ill at home one day, and it was during the early days of my attempt to serve the church there at Fort Smith. And I went over there to visit him after services. And he asked me, "Brother Steve, how'd it go today?" And I said, "Didn't go too well, Brother Harry. Didn't go too well at all. I didn't feel too good about it." And he said, "Brother Steve, have you ever considered this, that it may have been the absence of the prayers of the Lord's people, that you weren't being held up and supported by the prayers of God's people?" I said, "No, Brother Harry, had never thought about it." And I will let you know that thought does not enter my mind. I just won't let that thought enter my mind. I will not blame the absence of preaching on the congregation. I will blame the absence of preaching on myself. I will take responsibility for that. I will not blame God. I will not blame the congregation. But if anybody fails, it's me failing. But I'm thankful for the mercy of God as He's delivered us time and time again. Thankful for the salvation that God has provided for us. So we will turn over here into Ephesians for just a few minutes. I love to consider how the Apostle Paul was moved and convicted to pray for the people that he loved. Think about the prayers that he offered up continually for those churches. I want you to pray and ask you to pray for our little churches over there in western Arkansas, that the Lord would continue to bless us with His presence, that He would bless us with preaching grace, worshiping grace, and that we would be able to live in such a way that it honors and glorifies the Lord. But look here, it says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Lord, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, Paul was compelled to bow to the knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thrust to the ground in desire, in reverence, in fearfulness, reaching out and praying to God, the one that can do something about our issues, our problems, the one that can fix things that we can't fix, the one that understands what's around the corner, the one that has the universe in the palm of His hands. We spoke about a song where God had flung the stars into outer space and holds them in their proper place. And brethren, the Lord has the acute knowledge of the positions of the stars in heaven, and His very presence holds them in their proper place. We read in the tail end of the Scriptures that heaven and earth will flee from Him, for there's no place found for them. And I believe that's speaking about the time that God withdraws His presence from this creation. When His presence is no longer here, they flee from Him. There's no place found for them. The Lord, God of heaven, holds those stars in their proper place. His laws set in motion in creation, holding them there in His very presence. You see, brethren, even we ourselves are held intact by the Lord God of heaven. He says it's in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. Oh, how so often I fall short and forget. How I forget the influence and power of God in my life and think that I can operate on my own strength. How often I fail to cast my cares upon Him. He says, "For He careth for you," the Apostle Peter says. How I fail so miserably at taking His yoke upon me, of learning of Him. How I fail and fall so short. But oh Lord, He's so merciful and so gracious to me. Oh, He's so wonderful. In fact, that word wonderful is His name. He's wonderful, isn't He? Isaiah calls Him wonderful, our counselor. Says the government is upon His shoulder. I'll tell you, if the government is upon His shoulder, and I suspect that's the government of all creation, is upon His shoulder, then He can handle my little problems. When I cast my cares upon Him. When I go to the throne of grace, And I bow down to my great high priest in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as He's there on the right hand of God making intercession for us. Our prayers being heard in perfect heavenly language as the Lord Jesus is making intercession for us there. I marvel that the Holy Ghost carries our prayers into heaven. Think about that for just a moment. That when we bow our knee and prayer, the Holy Ghost is present. Consider that the Lord Jesus there on the right hand of God, taking those prayers, I believe, as our intercessor, as our great high priest. The inability to know what to pray for. He knows our needs before they enter our mind. We understand that. Brethren, He knows what's around the corner. Our inability to express ourselves to Him in prayer. He's not encumbered by our inability. He's there making intercession for us. He knows our needs. But I believe it's important for us, brethren, to bow down in prayer and petition the Lord God of heaven, the Creator of the universe, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to talk to Him one-on-one, to have a personal conversation with Him. Let Him know what our needs are, even though we understand He knows them before we do. But just the very act of reaching out to Him in prayer, brethren, is an act of reverence towards Him. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Oh, brethren, sometimes it just doesn't compute and add up between our ears that the closeness and nearness to God that we actually are when we're able to speak to Him with our own voice. We're able to call upon the Lord. We're able to speak to Him and petition Him at the throne of grace. How often those prayers have been answered. I'm not going to get into the unanswered portion of prayers, but I will say that I thank God that there are many of those prayers that I've offered up in selfishness, in wantonness, in self-gratification, if you will, self-glorification, whatever you want to call it. I'll tell you, there are many of my prayers that are polluted with me. But none of those polluted prayers make their way into the throne room of God. Not one of them does. No, they're interpreted in perfect heavenly language. I'll tell you a silly story. Maybe I shouldn't tell you this. But I'll tell you. There was a time that I was offered a position with a company that I wasn't quite sure about. Whether or not I should take that position. As an old Baptist elder, I just didn't know if it would have been compatible with the ministry. I didn't know. And I went to the Lord in prayer and I prayed to Him and prayed to Him and found myself eventually sitting in a park on a park bench. In the springtime of the year, the little spring flowers, yellow flowers, poking up through the grass. They're praying to Him, looking down with tears rolling down my cheeks, asking the Lord to intervene, to give me wisdom, to give me an answer. Lord, help me to make the proper decision. There were little honeybees flying around these little flowers out there. I never had a definitive answer from God. But I went ahead and made my decision to take that job. And I believe I learned a valuable lesson. When in doubt, leave it out. You know? When in doubt, leave it out. I ended up leaving that organization because of some of the filth and the awful things that they were saying on the public airways, a public license, tearing down our community, ripping it apart with lascivious and concupiscence and nastiness. I left that position because of those things. It took me a while to figure out I made the wrong decision. Little brethren over there, my little brethren, over there at Six Mile Creek, you know, a little church there where Elder Mark Green pastors, full of little ones. You walk through there and you see them laying on the bench, and Elder Green's wife says they're recharging. It's like a battery recharger. They've all grown up now and they have their own children, and they're charging on those pews. Thinking to myself, my heavens, these young people potentially listening to this, and by my very presence and employment there, it is a, and by association, it's an endorsement of those things. I could not live in that position. But I'll tell you the rest of the story about my prayer. Praying about those, praying out there on that park bench watching those little honeybees fly around the yellow flowers. I went ahead and took that position, and the very next Sunday at the Fort Smith Primitive Baptist Church, we had a nest of yellow jackets up in the wall. And as we turned that heater on, those yellow jackets became active, and there were brethren getting stung in the church. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at bees in the park. Congregation's getting stung by bees. The name of the radio station I went to work for was B98. That's the truth. His mascot was the bumblebee. Brother Adam Green come to visit us. Yellow jacket. Hits him on the ear. Deacon David Owens, he's sitting up front. They're hitting everybody in the house. I'll tell you, brethren, it's an important thing for us to go to the Lord in prayer, but it's also an important thing for us to use the good conscience that the Lord has given us in our decision-making process. We cast our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Welcome to the family. Think about that. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So often we overlook the strength of the inner man. The Spirit of God that's implanted, that's imparted, that we're in possession of. This new creature that we are in Christ Jesus. So often we overlook and forfeit the strength that we can draw from the Spirit of God that dwelleth within us. Think about it. If we only knew of the power that dwells within us, the power that we can draw upon, the inner man, the Spirit of God that dwells in us, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, and depth, and height. And I've been trying to figure out what that represents. You know, I've had a few ideas, and Elder Holder one time pretty much shut me down on it. You know, he was in the congregation. I was going over there into the temple, into the holiest of holies. I mean, I had that thing going every direction. And Brother Holder just kind of shut me down in the congregation. He said, uh-huh. I said, okay, I'll move on. But I'll tell you what, whatever this thing is, whatever this represents, I believe it is perfection. It is the perfection of the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And the abundance of that love that fills the expanse of this container, this perfect cube. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. Notice how he closes the prayer. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's that inner man. That power, that strength that worketh in us. We're able to draw upon the Spirit of God that dwells within us. this inward man that we have. But verse 21 is what we wanted. He says, unto Him, notice, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Here's that prayer I was talking about. When the Apostle Paul is praying not only for the church at Ephesus, but he's praying, he says, glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Isn't that something to hear the Apostle Paul pray for you, to pray for the church? Go over there and listen to the prayer of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 17. That prayer that He offers up and how we're embraced in that. It's such a remarkable thing. Brethren, I beg an interest in your prayers. And I know, and just want to say, we appreciate those prayers that have been offered up on behalf of us at Fort Smith and for this meeting. And I know your pastor's family deeply, deeply desires and appreciates your prayers. Pray for us.